brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Results Matter Radio. I'm Elizabeth Gordon, and on the producer mic, we've got Dana Barrett here with us as well.
Hi.
And I've got a packed studio today, and we've got a great show coming up, so you're in for a real treat. Today's show, we are talking about the Green Chamber of the South. And with me here in the studio are Marty Tomlinson, who is Executive Director of the Green Chamber of the South, Bernie Burginger.
It's close.
Bernie Burginger, Executive Director, Greenhouse Accelerator Program. We're so glad that you were able to make it to join us here, Bernie.
Thank you.
And Dan Bramblett also was here. Actually, I should have introduced Dan first because he was the first to arrive this morning. Dan is Chairman of the Board for the Green Chamber of the South. Dan, we're real pleased to have you in the studio with us this morning as well.
Thank you and good morning.
And Scott Hitch, also with us, with Burr and Foreman. He's going to help me out with getting to know more about our guests and what they've got going on.
Good morning.
So let's start with the basics. What is the Green Chamber of the South, and how is it different from other chambers of commerce? Marty?
Well, the Green Chamber of the South is a membership organization that was founded back in 2008. Two co-founders, Galit Levitin and Ofra Tesler, worked really hard in getting the support of the business community here in Atlanta. And the focus of the Green Chamber is to bring businesses together to help connect businesses and I'm drawing a blank here. Promote growth, innovation, clean tech jobs, and the success of sustainability, hopefully throughout the Southeast. That's our aim.
So, I mean, in recent years, many companies have become more interested in embracing practices of sustainability and adding more sustainability into many areas of their company. Scott, as an attorney working in the firm's environmental land use and planning and zoning practice group, many of your clients are looking at how do we become more sustainable. What are some of the challenges that companies today are faced with as they look at embracing more green practices?
Well, green businesses have all the same challenges that any business have. So what we do at the law firm is the basic law stuff, and that doesn't change from client to client much. But in the green areas that I practice in, a lot of the technology is new. So one of the challenges is making sure that companies with a new idea have the appropriate protections so that they can keep that idea and capitalize and make money off of it. Other sorts of contracting around a green service becomes important because, again, the technology is new and getting it right sometimes can be a challenge. So that's sort of where we're focused is on the cutting edge side of things and drafting business agreements so that the parties know what they're getting into, understand the nuances and that sort of thing as they go. And it's different from client to client, and it's different from space to space. It may be a new technology like Bernie's involved with in what he's doing, or it may be just a green service provider that's serving as a subcontractor to a developer. It sort of runs the gamut.
Okay. And similarly, I guess the membership of the Green Chamber also runs the gambit. How would you all describe maybe a typical member, or give me a feeling for the breadth and the scope of the membership?
Is there a typical member?
Yeah.
There is not a typical
member.
Go ahead, Dan.
And our gambit of, excuse me,
Our gambit of membership runs from just an individual who's interested in anything that's sustainable or wants to understand how they can get off the ground and start a small business, to actually large companies who have sustainability programs and sustainability managers. There's that word, sustainability. And what we look for in our members is that they understand what it is. 4 years ago, no one understood sustainability except for every company wanted to be sustainable, meaning they would like to be in business again next year. And in order to do that, they're finding that sustainable practices doesn't just mean, you know, looking at my P&L to see that I have enough cash flow. It also means, how am I getting that cash flow, and is it going to help the community and everybody around? And that is the sustainable part that we focus on.
So it's really having that value of sustainability integrated into all of the operational and marketing, sales, financial areas of the organization.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, what are the goals of the Green Chamber as an organization? What are you after and about?
We kind of have a twofold type thing. One is to give our members a place to gather and share and exchange and celebrate. And the second one is what Bernie heads up, and that's to give new entrepreneurs and established companies a way to learn how sustainability actually goes into your business practices.
So, Bernie, let's bring you into the conversation. We keep alluding to this fabulous program, this Greenhouse Accelerator program. Tell us about it.
Well, the premise is pretty much where Dan started out. We have so many members in our Green Chamber that themselves, they have been entrepreneurs. They led companies, senior executives. So we want to bring that wealth of experience, knowledge, know-how to bear on helping early-stage green startups. So our objective is to help create sustainable local jobs by helping entrepreneurs start and build businesses in that space.
And how has the program been received thus far? What have been the reactions since you've rolled it out?
We're a startup ourselves, so we've been doing this for about 2 years. It's been extremely rewarding to see how well we have been received. Everybody agrees with us that this needs to be done. Somebody needs to do this because we have too many startups failing too soon because of either not having a well-rounded team available to execute their plan or by not finding the financial resources that they need to get over those early humps. And oftentimes, companies fail because of a missing $20,000 for a feasibility study, a market study, a technology confirmation on proving the concept. So we're helping in those two areas. The unique thing about us is that we combine helping management do the right things to execute their plan, sort of on the operational side of running the business, and financial help. We're not investors, but we provide loans up to about $50,000 to help exactly over those what seems sometimes little small hurdles financially, but all these startup entrepreneurs have maxed out their credit cards, they've asked all their friends, they don't have collateral to give to a bank to get a loan. So if we can help a few with getting over those early hurdles, we can make a difference.
Excellent. Well, early stage companies are very vulnerable. And before you really get your solid legs under you, there are a lot of challenges to face during those startup stages. So in addition to providing financial resources, do you also help counsel them on how do you build a sustainable business? And what are some of those other additional best practices that an early stage company needs to know about in order to be building a company that is built to last?
Yeah. There are lots of incubators and accelerators around. What's unique about us is a couple of things. We're a nonprofit. So it doesn't cost anything to join us other than what we like to call reciprocity, We expect that once you have become successful, you turn around and help somebody else. And we're also more long-term. You know, the usual accelerator incubator is maybe 2 months, 3 months, at the most 6 months. We work with those companies over 24, 30 months, depending on the specific circumstances. And what we do is we literally form a team of advisors, 2 to 3 people usually, around the startups, and we walk with them through those early 2 years, let's say, if that's the time period, meet with them monthly, and just we do as little as being an opportunity for them to vent and to holding hands and providing psychological help, all the way to addressing whatever issues on the table by not so much actually solving it, but by giving them an opportunity to discuss with us what's the best way over that mountain, parse the problem into bite sizes that they can actually tackle, connect them with the right people to help them get it done, whatever it takes to move the company forward.
Bert, we've got a lot of members in the Green Chamber that aren't startups, that are established businesses now, and I was struck by a conversation we had a few weeks ago about the other side of the table on the incubator and the experiences that some of our larger members can have in getting together with the startups and providing some knowledge and experience and expertise from what they've done. And what struck me a little bit, what I hope you talk about, is the team approach that some of the largest groups have used and as a training for their junior members. You know what I'm talking about? And kind of touch on that, because I think that's a unique benefit that your program offers to our members and other companies that are looking for those kinds of opportunities.
Right. So as a green startup comes to us, we spend a lot of time understanding what it is they need to become successful, and then form those teams around them by bringing the right people to that team. A variation of that approach is that we sometimes take a startup, the entrepreneur or his team, to a company, and the team of advisors, if you want, from a particular company, especially the larger companies in town, lend themselves to that, where they have a sustainability team that knows that space, is composed of individuals that have experience, let's say, on the water side, air side, regulatory side, packaging, material sciences, whatever it is. And this offers the startup, of course, the opportunity to dial into a team of experts that have been there and can help them with the problems as they arise. On the other side, it is an opportunity for that company and their employees to for professional development. They get an opportunity to work with a company that is at an early stage of growth and deal with their issues. It's almost a bit like a mini MBA program within that company, taking these startups companies to them. That's been very rewarding, too, in seeing the kind of results that brings on both sides.
Now, Marty, your background is in human resources, and, you know, there's a lot of focus on the technology aspects and the operational aspects. What about the people aspects of making green changes and sustainable practices in business?
Well, my background's in human resources, and I haven't done that in a number of years because I'm actually much more focused in association management right now and running associations. But I think from the people aspect, you know, a lot of times I think the people are actually the ones that are driving this within the organizations. A lot of times it takes a champion. It always takes a champion. And so sometimes I think the employees can help push it. But, you know, in everything that's coming down through organizations, it can't just be a top-down approach. It takes everybody working together and believing in this. And so the companies have to have it as a priority and a goal that they follow. But then the people have to get behind it and support it.
Right. Bernie?
Yeah, maybe just to add to this, one of when you look at what these individuals are faced with in a company that they want to change some of the ways how this company has done business. One area where we can come in very helpfully is in providing success stories. And there are actually people like you out there who've done this, and they found because of this and that and the other, they found a way to succeed. And that's extremely encouraging.
Well, and I would imagine the other challenge for an organization that's decided to make this move to become more sustainable is finding partners that are going to also embrace these similar values. Because it's one thing to say, we're going to do this, but you've really got to look at your entire vertical supply chain and who you're partnering with and your all of the organizations that you're intertwined with from a business operating standpoint. So I would imagine being a part of the Green Chamber would help with partnering with those right companies.
Absolutely.
Building those relationships.
We actually have four prongs that we really try to push as the Green Chamber, and they're connect, collaborate, grow, and learn. And I don't think we focus on those enough, but we do try to connect people with each other and help them make connections, whether it is through the Greenhouse Accelerator Program or it's just people who come to our networking events. We believe as an organization that it's important to collaborate with other organizations. There are a lot of green organizations out there. It's hard to distinguish yourself. A lot of us are trying to do the same thing. So we believe in collaborating. We also want our members and the other companies in the community to collaborate with each other. That makes things go a lot smoother and helps us make progress a lot faster as well. And then the learning and growing aspect.
Certainly.
One of the most exciting parts of this for me since the beginning has been that we all get together from a myriad of backgrounds. But when we're all in the same room speaking, it's like you're speaking, to your brothers and sisters. You have the same values. You're trying to learn. And that's the main thing about I'd like to kind of define that startup part for the Greenhouse. It's not just a brand new company. We also have companies that's been around for 20 years who, like you've said earlier, Elizabeth, is trying to learn what it takes to get to a more sustainable product or service or whatever it is they're trying to do. And they learn very quickly just by sitting in the room and talking and listening and taking notes.
Well, and I always like to bring our conversation around to results, and we'll have our results matter segment in a minute. But before we get there, the Greenhouse program has had a lot of success. How do you measure the success of the program, and what have you been able to observe in terms of some of the results, even though it is still in a startup stage?
Right. So we don't have a huge track record to point to. But, some metrics are obvious. Since we want to create green jobs, we measure the green jobs that our companies actually create. So that's the first. Another metric is how many companies actually join our program. And we've had so far about 30 companies joining our program. Then also the amount of money we're able to lend to those startups. Then on a second level, we go further and we introduce metrics along the triple bottom line, and we try to measure. It's not always so easy, but we try to measure, for example, how some of our startup companies impact the use of water resources in Atlanta. We have a rainwater collection company, for example, that has an impact on how we use that resource. We measure these companies' impacts on greenhouse gas emissions. We have a multitude of companies, because that's obviously a relatively obvious space, that in one way or another offer a service or a product that helps their customers reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So we measure that. Some of it, the farther away you go, becomes more vague, if you want, which is not to say that you cannot measure it. You just have to be careful and qualify how you do it. But ultimately, we want to have that kind of impact on making better and more responsible use of our resources.
Excellent. Well, you know, there's been a lot of talk in recent years about Atlanta building this reputation as a sustainable city and sort of this hub of sustainable best practices here. And with the goal of creating more green jobs in the South for the Green Chamber, what do you all feel is the potential in that area? I mean, where are we kind of on the bell curve? Because clearly more green jobs will be created in the future. Are we right at the early stages of this? And is this going to be, you know, a big movement over the next 10 years?
I feel that it's just like you would catch a wave. And if you're a surfer or anybody who sets and watches waves, you see them building. And I think that Georgia as itself and then the whole Southeast is right now just starting to see that swell. It hasn't got to a wave yet. It hasn't got to surfable yet. But if you're looking out past all those that are crashing around you, you see that swell coming and you know that's coming. And I think that's about where we are on that curve.
So for people who are listening who are interested in finding out more about the Green Chamber and how they can join or get involved, what can we tell them or where can we point them to?
I think one of our premier programs or events other than the Greenhouse Accelerator program is our Green Wednesdays. We meet the first Wednesday of every month. It's a networking lunch. It's very informal. We typically have around 45 to 50 people every there. We have different speakers from all industries, different size companies that come and give a very informal presentation. And so it's just a great way to hear a good presentation, have a great lunch, and get to meet some different people every time. The other thing we do is we have opportunities for people to volunteer. We have a number of committees. We always need people to volunteer, so it's real easy to plug in and meet people. There are opportunities with the Greenhouse Accelerator Program to be advisors and volunteer. And then we do other events. We have a big program that we launched last year that we plan to make an annual event that's a roundtable event. It's called Sustainability Interactive. It brings together, we have chief sustainability officers from large corporations hosting tables, and people go around. It's kind of like speed dating. You go around to different tables and you get to talk to these CSOs and ask them and learn from them about what they're doing in their companies. So we offer a wide range of programs, and then we have membership opportunities, as Dan mentioned before, at the individual level all the way up to the corporate level.
Awesome. That brings up a good point. What is a chief sustainability officer's agenda? I mean, I'm sure some of you have worked with such people in that role. What are these people tasked with and what's on their mind? Scott?
The ones I know, it differs by the company's product or service, and it differs on where that company sits on this bell curve of sustainability. It may be just starting from scratch and doing an internal recycling program at the outset to working up to looking at their supply chain and how those impacts affect their business and bottom line. It's really it is a triple bottom line issue. It's a social responsibility issue, but it's also being in business has to focus on the dollars and cents, and it's very common and always interesting to me the conversation that I sometimes have with folks about when they get it that, oh, I can be green and that's going to save my company how much per year. Wow, that's great. It's a common theme, and it's when that realization happens, it's pretty interesting. It changes the whole dynamic and mindset about how one can do business. And that's sort of what a CSO is involved with in doing those kinds of things.
Awesome. Yep. Bernie?
And probably the most important part of the job of that person is to make sure that sustainability isn't looked at something that happens in that department.
Right.
It doesn't belong into a silo. the sustainability is not a business function like manufacturing or marketing. It's a way how you make your decisions, whether it is in the mailroom or in purchasing products or in your marketing promotions. It's the fact that the triple bottom line enters in every one of those decisions, and you responsibly make sure that you're accountable for all the impacts you're having as you make those decisions.
Absolutely. So Marty described some of the programs that the Green Chamber offers to the community. Any anecdotal stories about y'all's experience at programs, big ahas, or meeting and connecting with great folks?
I have a great one. We have a small company. It's actually been around for about 20 years. It's in our greenhouse accelerator starting to go through. And they joined and came to a mixer, and they met Hartsfield Jackson, the sustainability officer there. And now they're trying to get together and do a study to see how their product will actually help the airport. So that happens quite a bit. It's kind of fun, and it's real exciting to be in the middle of it.
Well, I know you're going to have a lot of interest, so let's go ahead and give the website out so folks know where to check that out.
It's www.greencs.org.
Okay. And a lot of growth coming up for the Green Chamber. Well, ladies and gents, we were at the time segment when it's time to talk about results here on Results Matter Radio. So we're going to go back around the table now, and I'm going to ask each of you to kind of hone in on what are the results that are important that you've seen the Green Chamber really be able to build towards and achieve over the time that you've been involved, and what you're looking forward to seeing evolve over the remainder of 2013. So, Dan, let's start with you.
I'm very excited. This is our fourth year. We've got 131 members, and I'd really love to see that part grow. We have we've started out locally here in Atlanta, and we've grown to one chapter in Northwest Florida, Northeast Florida.
Northeast
Florida, sorry. And we're looking at two other chapters to start, and one in Tennessee and I think one in the Panhandle. So I'm very excited about those things.
That's awesome. That's great. Marty, results that matter.
Well, I would echo the membership and the growth that Dan has mentioned. We've just put in a new membership structure to make it a little bit easier for companies to join and at least come in and try us out. But I think the other thing that I've seen in the 2 years that I've been with the chamber is the awareness. I think people realize we are here to stay, and we're not going to go away. And so we're our name's getting out there, and I think we have some more branding to do, but I think it's a good brand, and it's something that people do want to be a part of.
Excellent. Sustainability in practice.
Yes.
Love it. Bernie.
Yeah, results. On the Greenhouse Accelerator side, like I said, we already have about 30 companies that we have touched on. We have about 15 companies starting in the center of the program now. We need to make sure that we actually provide the value that we want to provide to them. So one of the key things for that is meetings. We organize regular meetings. We organize of all the companies in our accelerator. That is extremely beneficial to all of them from two aspects. We let them connect, and we found already that they find that they are either active in the same space, similar products, that product lines overlap. They can actually help each other. And then we provide in those meetings also some tools that will help them to make the decisions they're looking at. Another key result for this year is for us to bring more companies to us, that famous deal flow that everybody's talking about, so that more companies find us. And we also need to build our loan fund. We will go through our second round of a fundraiser, where we're planning to build over the next couple of years a loan portfolio of maybe $500,000 that's going to be a revolving fund that we're going to use to help these startups. We've got some funding for it already, which is what we use currently, but we want to be more ambitious and bring a larger portfolio together.
Excellent. That's very exciting. And once again, if people want to find out more information about the Green Chamber, they can go to greencs.org. Scott, over to you, lead counsel for the morning. Any closing comments for us around results?
I would just say this. I'm back involved with the chamber after not being really an active participant for a while, and I've been really struck and impressed by how well run an organization it is and the momentum that is behind it. I am chairing the chapter development committee now and am looking forward to bringing the good works that we've done here in Atlanta throughout the Southeast. And I think there are some great lessons that can be translated into those other markets. And there's some probably lessons that we can learn back from them as well. But we're excited about the growth of the organization.
Excellent. Well, we'd love to have you guys come back and visit us again and keep us posted about all these great developments. Thanks so much to my guests once again, Marty Tomlinson, Executive Director of the Green Chamber of the South, Bernie Bergenger, Executive Director of the Greenhouse Accelerator Program for the Green Chamber of the South, and Dan Bramblett, Chairman of the Board for the Green Chamber of the South, and of course, Scott Hitch with us here with Burr and Foreman. You've been listening to Burr and Foreman's Results Matter Radio. I'm Elizabeth Gordon, and I will talk to you next week.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.